Morning, everyone. If you have your Bible with you, take it out, please, and let's begin in the book of Genesis. Let's go to the first book of the Bible and read Genesis chapter 6. And let's start reading with verse number 5. In Genesis chapter 6, starting with verse number 5. The word of the Lord says this: Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I've created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things, and to birds to the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that if you wanted to this morning, you could get in your car, get on the interstate and travel north until you get to a place called Williamstown, Kentucky. And when you get to Williamstown, Kentucky, which is right there on the border of the Kentucky-Ohio border there, or when you get there, did you know that you could actually see Noah's Ark? That's right, you can actually see Noah's Ark in Williamstown, Kentucky. Now, don't misunderstand, it's not the real Noah's Ark, but it appears to be a pretty good replica. It is actually operated by a group called Answers in Genesis, a creationist group that operates the Creation Museum that myself and several others visited around this time last year. But on July the 7th of this year, exactly 1 month ago, Answers in Genesis finally completed this replica. And the facts surrounding it are very interesting. You see, like the measurements given in Genesis, this replica of Noah's Ark is over 500 feet long. That is about the size of almost 2 football fields. It's 85 feet wide and over 80 feet high. It cost over $100 million to build, and it took about 6 years to get done. Now, you and I know that Noah didn't get it done that quick, but it took about 6 years for them to get it done. And it's full of exhibits, and it has places for dining. It has an observation deck, a petting zoo, and it even has some zip lines. It appears to be a great attraction that is really designed to bring the story of Noah to life. And personally, I believe that people from all across the country, people from all across the globe are going to want to travel to see this replica. I believe people are going to want to see this because you and I both know that the story of Noah is one of the most well-known stories in the history of the world. It is certainly one of the most well-known stories in all the Bible. It is a story that we try to teach our children from the time they're very young. From the time our children are very small, we want them to understand that several thousand years ago, as God observed the world, He saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. It was pervasive. Sin was all over the planet. Sin was in the hearts of men. And this caused God to feel great regret that He had even made man on the earth. He regretted that He had made man. And in His righteous indignation, He decided to blot them out. He decided to destroy every living thing that He made. But there was one man named Noah, who found favor in the eyes of God. Out of all the people on the face of the planet, Noah was the only one who was found pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. And so as a result, God told him to build an ark. And through that ark, both he and his family would be saved. They would survive this global flood that God was going to use to bring judgment on the world. You see, the story of Noah is one of the many stories from the Bible that we start teaching our children at a very young age. It is certainly a great story, is it not? In fact, I think there are so many lessons that we can learn as Christians that can help us in our faith from what happened with Noah. For example, from the story of Noah, I think we learn a great lesson about preparation, don't we? If you remember, Noah didn't know exactly when that flood was going to come. He didn't know exactly when God was going to send that flood, but when God eventually did send that flood, Noah was prepared. He was prepared for the judgment of God. And just like Noah was prepared on that day, we got to make sure we're preparing. We got to make sure that we're found faithful when our Lord comes back like a thief in the night. Noah's story is a great story about preparation, and it's also a great story about how God feels about sin. This story teaches us that God hates sin, that God is hurt by sin, and God's justice always demands that a penalty be paid for sin. We learn a lesson about sin from the story of Noah, and we also learn a lesson about baptism. You see, just as Noah and his family were preserved through the waters of the flood, Peter says in 1 Peter 3, verse 21, that baptism now saves us. From Noah's story, we learn a lesson about baptism. And above all these things we've just mentioned, Noah's great story also teaches us a lot of lessons about faith. A lot of lessons about the importance of faith. And so I want to invite you into your New Testament now to Hebrews chapter 11. Will you please go in your Bibles to Hebrews 11? This will be the main text that we'll be considering this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 is one of those great chapters in the Bible. We can learn so many important lessons about faith. In fact, I want you to notice what the Hebrew writer says about faith. Let's start reading with verse number 6. In Hebrews 11, in verse number 6, the Hebrew writer says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Ladies and gentlemen, there are a couple of very important things that I want you to notice from these verses. First, I want you to notice how in verse number 6, the Hebrew writer makes it very clear that if we don't have faith in our lives, we really don't have anything. The Hebrew writer says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to become all that God wants you to be. The Hebrew writer says that we have to have faith in our lives, but we can't just have any kind of faith. Notice, secondly, how he says we got to have a faith like Noah. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then he emphasizes that point by mentioning the faith of Noah. He says that Noah had the kind of faith that pleased God. And I got to tell you, that's very interesting to me, because personally, I don't believe that faith is one of the top three or four things that pops into our minds when we immediately think about Noah. You see, so often we think about Noah, one of the first things that pops into our minds is we think first about that flood. Or we think first about how Noah built that ark to preserve both he and his family. Or maybe we think first about all the sin that was going on in the world at that time. Or maybe we think all about those animals, the elephants and the giraffes and even the dinosaurs that got onto the ark. Or maybe we even think about the rainbow that God put into the sky after they got off of the ark as a reminder that he would never again destroy all flesh with a global flood. See, so often when we think about Noah, these are the kinds of things that immediately pop into our mind. But I want you to notice very carefully how that's none of those things are what the Hebrew writer emphasizes in that verse we just read, is it? Above all those things I just mentioned, the main thing the Hebrew writer emphasizes is he emphasizes Noah's faith. He says Noah had the kind of faith that pleased God. Noah had the kind of faith that glorified God. And the question is, why is that? I mean, what is it about Noah's faith that made it so great? In other words, what specific qualities did Noah's faith have that made it the kind of faith that pleased the Lord, that made it the kind of faith that we need to imitate and try to emulate in our lives? What made Noah's faith the kind of faith that pleased God? Well, I want to submit to you that in that verse right there, we find at least four things. There are at least four things that made Noah's faith the kind of faith that pleased God. And here's the first thing right here. Number one, from Noah we see that if we want to have the kind of faith that pleases God, then we have to understand that faith that pleases God is a kind of faith that is willing to believe in the unseen. You're going to believe in the unseen. Isn't that what the verse said? Look at it again. Verse number 7 of Hebrews 11. By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet what? Not yet seen. Notice here how the text makes it very clear that Noah was a great man of faith because he was willing to believe in some things he had not yet seen. The question is, what had Noah not yet seen? Well, go in your Bible to Genesis chapter 6. Look back at Genesis 6 and look at verse 17 this time. In Genesis chapter 6, in verse 17, after telling us that Noah found favor with God, and after telling us that God told Noah to build an ark, in verse 17, the Bible says this. This is God speaking to Noah. He says, "Behold, I, and bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from all under heaven, everything that is on the earth shall perish." Brothers and sisters, I hope you will agree with me when I say that this kind of information that God has given Noah here would have been a lot for any person to digest. It would have been a lot of information for any person to absorb and take in. I mean, think about it. How would you feel if you heard this kind of information Noah's hearing? How would you feel if you heard this kind of stuff that God is saying to Noah? I mean, here on this occasion, God is saying to Noah some very extraordinary things. He is telling Noah that he's going to send a flood on the earth. And through this flood, all flesh, everything was going to be destroyed. Everything was going to die. All the people were going to die. Everybody Noah knew was going to die. All the plants were going to die. All the animals were going to die. It all was going to die. It all was going to be wiped out by this flood sent by God. I mean, that's what God is saying to this man. And please understand that Noah had to have an extraordinary amount of faith to believe that God was going to do this. I say that because we got to keep in mind that Noah had never seen anything like this before in his life. We got to understand, up to this point, Noah had never seen a global flood. In fact, it's very likely that he had never even seen rain up to this point. He had never seen God open the floodgates of heaven and pour out his wrath on millions of people. He had never seen water literally cover every part of the earth. Noah had never seen any of these things that God is talking about. He had never seen any of these things in his life, and yet, even though he had never seen them before, he still believed they were going to happen, didn't he? He still believed that God was going to do what he promised he was going to do. I mean, if he didn't believe that, then why in the world did he spend the next 100 years of his life building that ark? You see, the fact that Noah would spend the next century of his life building that ark shows us that he was a great man of faith. It shows us that he believed and trusted in the promises of God, even though God was promising to do some things that he had never seen before in his life. And the question is, do we have faith like that? I mean, do we have that kind of faith? Do we have that high level of faith? Like Noah, do we have the kind of faith to where we are willing to believe that God is going to do the things that he's promised, even though we've never seen him before in our lives? Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that we got to have that kind of faith and maybe even more if we're going to be prepared for what God is going to do in the future. I want you to go in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 because some may be wondering, well, what is God going to do in the future? What is God going to do that we've never seen before in our lives? Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as the Apostle Paul is talking about what's going to happen when the Lord comes back again, he says in verse 15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." I want you to put with what Paul says here with what you find in 2 Peter chapter 3. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and look at verse 10, because again, In the context, Peter is talking about what's going to happen when the Lord returns. And he says in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up." Let me ask you a question. My friends, have you ever seen anything like what the Bible is talking about in those verses we just read? Have you ever seen any of those things before in your life? Have you ever seen what Peter is talking about there? You ever seen the whole world destroyed by fire? You ever seen that before? You ever seen what the Apostle Paul is talking about? You ever seen the Lord descend from heaven with His mighty angels? You ever seen the dead come out of the graves and the saved meet the Lord in the air? You ever seen the heavens pass away with a roar and the elements melt with intense heat? You ever seen those things before? You know you haven't seen those things before in your life, and neither have I. None of us have seen any of those things those verses are talking about. But if we really want to have the kind of faith that pleases God, then we got to believe they're going to happen. We got to believe they're one day going to take place, because God promises that in His Word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, Paul says that we walk by faith and not by what? Not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Walking by faith and not by sight means that we're going to have to believe in some things God has said, not because we've seen them with our own eyes, not because we've personally seen them take place, but because God said so. Because God promised these things were going to happen, because God has never made a promise that He could not keep, because God is faithful and He is incapable of lying. We have to believe in the promises of God. And so I ask you again, do you have that kind of faith? I mean, as you sit there in that pew, are you willing to believe in some things that the Bible says are going to happen, even though you've never seen them before in your life? I hope you can see that's the kind of faith Noah had. The Hebrew writer says that Noah had faith that pleased God because he believed in things that he had not yet seen. But that's not the only reason why his faith is commended. A second reason why Noah's faith is commended is secondly, Noah's faith pleased God. Because secondly, he in reverence obeyed God. He believed in the unseen, but he also in reverence obeyed God. Isn't that what the verse said? By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, he did something. In reverence, he prepared an ark. You know, it is easy to read that verse without giving much thought to what's being said. It's easy just to blitz through that part of the verse. It is easy to read that part of the verse and then just say to ourselves, okay, Noah had to build an ark. What's the big deal? God told him what to do. God gave him the instructions on how to do it. That's something that we teach our kids when they're 3 and 4 years old. I mean, what's the big deal about what Noah's doing? It's easy to think like that in our lives, but I want you to understand that what Noah's doing there is a big deal. In fact, it is a very big deal. It is a huge deal. And I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine that you had to build that ark that Noah had to build. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine spending about 100 years of your life, maybe 125 years of your life, building a boat that was about 500 feet long, 85 feet wide, and at least 3 stories high? Can you imagine doing that without having absolutely no boat building experience? Can you imagine doing that without all these modern tools you have at your disposal? Man, you don't have that electric saw you got right now. You don't have that electric drill. You don't have some previous blueprints and models to look at. You don't have electricity. You don't have expertise. You don't have some YouTube channel you can go to and you can watch how somebody else did it before. You don't have those things at this time. I mean, can you imagine going through that? That's exactly what Noah had to deal with. Noah had a tremendous task in building this ark, and yet despite all these obstacles, despite the fact that he didn't have all the tools and the things we have today, despite how difficult it would have been to obey this commandment, the Bible makes it very clear that Noah still did exactly what God told him to do. He did exactly what God said. Look at Genesis 6 and verse 22. Here's a great verse. Genesis 6 and verse 22. If you want to know if Noah did what the Lord said, look at Genesis 6, 22. It says, thus Noah did according to what? According to all that God had commanded. So Noah did. Notice how the Bible makes it very clear that not only did Noah believe and trust in the promises of God, but he also obeyed everything God told him to do. He believed and trusted in God, and he also obeyed God. He did what God commanded, and he did it with reverence and respect. That's what the Scripture says. And again, I have to ask us, do we have that kind of faith? Do we have the kind of faith that we're willing to do exactly what God tells us to do, no matter how difficult His commandment might be? I ask you that question because it is here, brothers and sisters, where many in the religious world get it wrong. You see, so often people in the religious world, they try to separate faith from obedience. They try to separate faith from doing what God says in His Word. That's exactly what so many people try to do, but you can't do that. You can't do that because the Bible does not do that. You just do a casual reading of your Bible, you'll easily see that the kind of faith that pleases God, the kind of faith that glorifies God, is not just a belief in the promises of God, but it is a belief that is always accompanied with action. It is a belief that is always accompanied with obedience. That's what James says in James 2, verse 17. Remember, he said, faith without works is dead. D-E-A, dead. Faith without obedience to God is dead. That's what James says. In fact, not only does James make that point crystal clear, but you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, and you just read Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll find great people from the Old Testament living out that commandment in a very practical way. When you go back and read the Hall of Faith, you will see that one of the reasons those people are there is because they understood that faith that pleases God requires action. Faith that pleases God requires belief plus obedience. Look at verse 4. Verse number 4 of that chapter says, by faith, Abel, the brother of Cain, he offered to God a better sacrifice than his brother. You look at verse number 5, it was by faith that Enoch was pleasing to God. Verse number 7, it was by faith that Noah, he prepared. Notice he did something. He, in reverence, prepared an ark. Verse number 8, it was by faith that Abraham did something. He obeyed God by traveling and living in a place that he had never been before. Verse number 21, it was by faith that Jacob on his deathbed blessed each of his sons. You look at the next verse, verse 22, it was by faith that Joseph made mention of the Exodus to his family members, and he gave them orders in regards to his bones. In verse number 23, it was by faith that Moses' parents hid him from the Pharaoh for 3 months. It was by faith that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose to suffer with his Israelite brethren. Ladies and gentlemen, do you see the main thing that connects all of these cases together? Do you see that the reason why these people are commended by God is not just because they believed in God, but it's because they put with that belief obedience. They believed and they obeyed. They believed and they acted. Abel believed in God, and as a result, he offered. That's an action word. He did something. Noah, in reference, prepared. He did something. Abraham obeyed by going out. Jacob blessed. Joseph gave orders. Moses was hidden. Moses refused. Those are action words. These people did something to demonstrate their faith. That's why these people are commended by God. That's the kind of faith that pleases God. The kind of faith that pleases God is belief accompanied with action. And the question is, do we have that kind of faith? Do we have the kind of faith to where we're willing to believe and trust in God? And we're going to allow that belief and trust to always lead us to doing exactly what God tells us to do. You see, if we don't have that kind of faith, then we don't have a faith like Noah. You see, Noah's faith went beyond just belief only. Noah's faith included belief plus obedience. Noah believed and trusted in the promises of God, and that led him to doing what God told him to do. That's the kind of faith that Noah had. And so from Noah we see that faith that pleases God is a faith that believes in the unseen. And it's a faith that in reverence obeys God. But a third thing we learn about Noah is faith that pleases God. Faith that pleases God is motivated by love. It's motivated by love, and not just a love for God, but for other people. Look at the verse very carefully. We go back to the verse, Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of who? For the salvation of his household. What a powerful set of words the Hebrew writer puts in the middle part of that verse. In fact, from them, I think we see that as Noah was preparing that ark, as he was hammering away at that ark, he wasn't just thinking about himself. He wasn't just thinking about his own personal relationship with God. He wasn't just thinking about saving himself. Instead, he was thinking about other people. Specifically, in this case, he was thinking about his household. He was thinking about his family. He was thinking about his wife. He was thinking about his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He was thinking about their three wives. He was thinking about his household, his family, while he built that ark in addition to his own salvation. That's what the Hebrew writer says there. In fact, not only was he thinking about the salvation of his household, but we got to understand he also was thinking about the salvation of people in the world. And I say that because in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, the Apostle Peter calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. You see, as Noah prepared that ark, as he hammered away at that ark, he was also preaching the word of God. He was also telling people the will of God. He was telling them to repent and get their lives right with God before that flood came. Noah was preaching God's word. He was preaching God's word, and unfortunately, only seven people changed their lives after hearing his preaching, but those seven people were seven people who were members of his household. And when that flood came, they were able to get on that ark as well. Noah's faith was the kind of faith that thought about the salvation of other people. And the question is, do we have that same kind of faith? Do we have that same kind of faith? And I've told you many times that two of the greatest joys in my life is being a husband to Genesia Jeffries and a father to our two children. I love my family with all my heart. I want my family to be saved. I want my family to know God. I want them to know Jesus. I want them to know the Bible. I want them to go to heaven just as much as I want to go to heaven. I love my family. I want them to be saved. And if I really want that, then you know what that means I need to do? I need to make the most of every opportunity I have with them now in this life. You see, as I learn the will of God, as I try to grow as a Christian, as I try to make my way to heaven to be with God, I got to make sure that I don't forget about my family. I got to make sure that I don't forget about the responsibility that I have been given by God to lead them and to help them get to heaven as well. I got to remember my family as I grow as a Christian every day. I got to make sure I do that, but not only do I got to think about my family, I also got to think about the people in the world. I got to think about the people on the outside. Remember in Matthew 28 and verse 19, Jesus says to Christians, you go therefore into all the world and make disciples of the nations. Jesus tells me as an individual Christian, I have a responsibility to not only help myself and my family, but I got to help the people in the world. I got to help them learn about God. I got to help them learn about Jesus. I got to help them understand that the judgment of God is coming. I have a responsibility to the world. I have a responsibility to my spouse. I have a responsibility to my children. These are the responsibilities that I have in my life. And so, parents, as you look at your beautiful children this morning who are sitting with you, let me ask you something. Will they be in heaven with you one day? Will they be in heaven with you? Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying you can force them to do right. You know I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you can force them to obey the Bible. I'm not saying you can force them into heaven. You know I'm not saying that. What I mean when I ask that question is, have you done all your power to help them go to heaven? Have you taught them the will of God? Have you taught them about how to develop a real and genuine faith? Have you showed them, by the way you live your life, what it means to be a real and authentic Christian? Have you helped your family make their way into the kingdom of God? from Noah's story, we see that if we really want to have the kind of faith that pleases God, we got to make sure we do that. Noah's example shows us that the kind of faith that pleases God not only obeys God because we're trying to be saved, but it also obeys God because we're trying to inspire and we're trying to motivate the people we love to obey God as well. Noah had a faith that pleased God because he believed in the unseen. He, in reverence, obeyed God. He was motivated by love for his family. But then the last thing I want to show you is Noah's faith was pleasing to God because his faith convicted the world. It convicted the world. Look at what the text says. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world. Notice how the verse makes it very clear that Noah's faith was the kind of faith that condemned the world. The question is, how did Noah's faith condemn the world? Well, as we think about that, I want you to imagine something right now, okay? Remember we said earlier that it took Noah probably between 100 and 125 years to build that ark. And I want you to imagine each day that as Noah is out there hammering away at that ark, somebody passes by and says, "Hey, Noah, I still see you. I see you still working on that ark. I guess you still think it's going to rain one day." Or, "Hey, Noah, 50 years have gone by now since your God first told you it's going to rain and nothing has happened yet. I guess your God lied to you." Or, "Hey, Noah, we heard you were building this big boat, but we just had to come and see it for ourselves. I guess you really believe you're the only righteous person in the world. I guess you really believe that the rest of us are just terrible sinners and we're all going to be destroyed. We're going to be wiped away when this so-called global flood comes." You see, based on what the Hebrew writer says in this verse, I think we can safely conclude that Noah was hearing these kind of things while he was building that ark. While Noah was building that ark for about 100 years, he was hearing people mocking him. He was hearing people discouraging him. And the reason he heard these things, because his actions were convicting those people for their sins. His actions were forcing him to think about how they were currently living their lives. And ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what the faith of God's people is supposed to do. That's exactly what my faith is supposed to do to the world. That's exactly what your faith is supposed to do to the world. In Matthew 5 and verse 16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Notice how the Bible commands us to shine. The Bible commands us to stand out and to shine in this dark and sinful world. The Bible commands us to be different, to be unique, to allow people to look at us and see people who have good morals and good ethics, and we're really trying to live by the Bible. We're not hypocrites. When people look at us, they should see the real thing. You see, when people look at us and they see we don't drink, and we're not shacking up with somebody, and we're not cursing, and we're not lying, and we're not cheating, and we're not bullying and making fun of other people. When people look at us and see these qualities in us, that's going to really get them to think about how they're living their lives. That's going to get them to think about if they're currently harboring sin in their lives. And if it does that, if our actions do that for people, then that is a good thing. That's a good thing, brothers and sisters. In fact, that may be the first step those people need to take to get their lives right with the Lord. But what I just want you to see is Noah's faith was noticeable. It stood out in a dark and sinful world. And if our faith is not doing the same today, then that's a serious problem. We clearly are looking too much like the world. We smell like the world. We're talking like the world. We're living like the world instead of just being in the world. We've become of the world, and that's not God's will for his people. But Noah's faith was a faith that pleased God, and it pleased God because it believed in the unseen. It in reverence obeyed God. It was motivated by love. It convicted the world. And as far as the final outcome goes for Noah, well, we find that in the verse as well. One more time, Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Notice how the final outcome for Noah having this kind of faith is he was saved. He was spared from God's judgment that was going to come on the world at this time. Noah's faith led to his salvation. And please don't for a second think that Noah earned or deserved that privilege of salvation. Don't you think Noah earned that? Because he didn't. I mean, don't misunderstand. Yes, Noah obeyed God. We know that. We made a point about that. Yes, Noah feared God. Yes, Noah did exactly what God said. Had he not done what God said, he would not have been saved. No doubt those things are true. But ladies and gentlemen, we got to understand that ultimately Noah was saved on this occasion, not because he was so good, not because he was perfect, not because he was so righteous, but ultimately he was saved is because God offered his grace down to him and he received that grace through faith. That's how Noah was saved on this occasion. You see, without God's grace, Noah would have been destroyed just like everybody else. And the reason I say that is because what does Romans 3:23 say? It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You see, that word "all" there would also include Noah. Noah was a good man. He was a man of faith, but he wasn't perfect. He had sinned as well. He was a sinner as well. And he needed God's grace. He needed God to offer him something that he did not deserve, and that was a way to be saved from that flood, and God offered him that. And through his faith, he received that, and so Noah was saved by grace through faith. And just like Noah was saved by grace through faith, guess what? We're also saved in the same way from our sins. And so let's go back to where we started in our worship this morning, where Bradley began this morning, Ephesians chapter 2. And then what the verse said, Ephesians the second chapter in verse number 8, Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works." It's not something you earned, so that no one may boast. Noah was saved from that flood by God's grace through his obedient faith. And notice how we're saved the same way from our sins. We're saved the same way. Today, God offers his grace to all men. Today, he offers us all something we don't deserve, and that is salvation, a relationship with him, an opportunity to go to heaven. God offers those things to me, and he offers them to you, but it's up to us to believe in his promises and to act on that belief with obedience to properly receive his grace. And so if you're sitting there in the pew this morning, you realize you're not right with God. You're outside of the ark. You're outside of the family of God. You have an opportunity to demonstrate the same faith that Noah demonstrated. This morning, you have an opportunity to not only believe in the promises of God, believe in God's Son, but allow that belief to lead you to repentance, to confession of Jesus as Lord, and to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. If you will demonstrate that kind of faith this morning, God will keep his promise to wash away your sins, add you to the body of his Son, and you can be in the safety of God's family and prepared for the judgment day. And so if there's someone here this morning who needs to exercise that kind of faith, today is the day to do that. And we're more than willing to help you. Come to the front as we stand and as we sing.